Hi, I'm Scott Hansman, and we're back on Azure Friday. And adding on to the talk that we did about hypermedia and OData, we've got Matt Veloso, who's going to talk about SharePoint. Now,
SharePoint.
I was like, I don't know, SharePoint and Azure Friday, how does that really fit together? But it turns out with Office 365 and SharePoint Online, a lot of these things are plugging into Azure applications more than I actually realized.
Yep.
You've got an app here that's talking to SharePoint?
Yeah. Well, I would like to, I will talk a little more about SharePoint because SharePoint is usually the trickiest one to understand. But the fact is Office 365 can work as just building blocks for your app. Like you can use it from anywhere. You can use it from Azure. And the cool thing about using from Azure is if I go to Azure AD and I create, for example, mobile services, I can configure this mobile service to, I can give it rights to access Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, anything I want. So for example, in this particular case.
So this is a proper Azure mobile service?
This is a proper Azure mobile service. Could be an Azure website. It could be anything else.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be .NET, it could be anything. And I'm just saying this website has rights to access SharePoint, but just to edit and delete user files and nothing else, right? And so now it's just a little building block I can call from my mobile services and add value. If I have document management, if I need to use anything that SharePoint can add value, I can use it.
Oh, I see. So SharePoint's kind of scary. It's this big,
yeah,
big black box for a lot of people, unless you're a SharePoint professional. You're saying that I would kind of add it to my toolkit, and if I need document management or list management, but I want to express it in a certain way from an iPhone app or a Windows phone or something like that, I can have it talk to my Azure mobile service or my web API, and then it's just another data source that I can query.
Yes.
But I've got really granular control over the permissions that I can, what I can talk to.
Pretty much, right? So as you say, SharePoint scares people away because SharePoint is a big thing and has lots of little different features in there. So I want to kind of, in the next few minutes, summarize like the few things you need to know that will get you comfortable around SharePoint and understand what SharePoint is and what it can do for you.
Okay.
Right?
Demystify it for me.
Let's demystify it. So the first rule about SharePoint, and I lost it. Where is it? Oh, there you go. Everything SharePoint is a list. So everything, a document library, contacts, calendars, tasks, projects, anything you create in SharePoint is stored as a list. And because everything is a list, everything has columns and rows. Everything looks like this, right? So when you create a document library, for example, and save a document, the document itself will be one column of this list. And you can create other columns, or you can create what we call metadata for that list. So for example, one of the columns can be the department. The other one can be the employee name. It can be whatever you think it makes sense that adds value to that document.
So it's higher level than SQL Server in the sense if I could take a document and make it a byte array,
yes,
stick in SQL Server. But you're saying like my Word doc could be a column type in SharePoint.
Yes.
And then additional metadata is another column.
Pretty much. And then you can query by it. You can search for it. You can have lists that reference other lists. So for example, we can have a list that's a city. And from my documents library, I have a column that looks up at city. So now it becomes a little combo box that I can select cities whenever I save a document. So it makes it look like a lot of like a database, but it's not really a database. It's being saved in a database. And so behind the scenes, this is going to a database somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
It's kind of a meta database, but it's much more business focused and not on the metal.
Pretty much. The other thing you need to know about any list in SharePoint is you can enable versioning, which means that every row, every time you change a row, you can create multiple versions. So I can actually look back and say, oh, that's the data I had before this guy came and changed it. So that's another thing you add. And the other thing that lists have is folders. So like a document library can have subfolders, any custom list can have that as well. So I can have a flat list that I can drill down to subfolders and find more items and so on. Those things make it a little bit different than a typical table, but it's still a list that I can query, I can insert data, I can delete, and so on, right? So with that in mind, and we discussed about OData. So this is just UI in SharePoint, right? This is a document library. So again, this is a list. I can tell that because I can see the little menu on the top, like there's files and libraries there. So I can actually click at libraries. And every list will give me these options. For example, I can create a alert. So whenever you insert data, either from your application or if a user does it, it can be notified by email. You can do this sort of thing, export Excel.
But right? I can think of this, every list is a potential data source.
It's a data source.
Okay.
And you can query that. And you can even query that from Excel, for example. I can export this list to Excel, change stuff there, save it, and save it back to the list. And this is being done via OData. So we discussed about OData.
Right? So you're saying when I click that Excel button,
yeah,
or connect it in some way to an Office thing,
yeah,
it magically just kind of transports itself there, but underlying that is the OData protocol.
Yes. Right? Because it's a list, as I mentioned, you can create columns, right? So these are standard document libraries with a bunch of columns and data types. I can go there and add more. So I can add more columns, I can configure data types, and so on. And that's where things start to get interesting. So remember about OData, right? I can go to my SharePoint site, go to my Hypermedia API, and then I can start navigating with it. So that's a function. That's something OData allows you to do. I can have a function and say, I want to find this document library by its name. And I want to list all the files that are in there. So that's a single HTTP request, right? It's just one HTTP request.
And documents is the name of the list.
The list, okay. Right? And I'm listing all the files that are in there, right? And so now I can start, for example, displaying this in my custom application, a web application, or iPhone or something. I can let you navigate. I can create files. I can move files around.
And it wouldn't look like SharePoint at all. It would just be a view that you decided to write yourself, and yeah. You're querying a database or a data source or a web API. It's just that happens to be SharePoint underneath it.
It happens to be SharePoint. You can also build that inside SharePoint. So if you want just to add your custom web thingy on the SharePoint UI, that's also an option. But I think my main point here is you don't have to. It doesn't have to look like SharePoint at all. You can do everything from your app as well, right? The other interesting thing you may want to do is you want to listen from your web service on what's happening on that document library. So for example, someone creates a new document. You want to trigger a workflow where your application picks that up and say, okay, now I need to work with this, send an email, save something in a database, notify someone. So SharePoint has this concept called remote event receivers. So you build your web service, you put it on the Azure, and you say, hey, SharePoint, I'm listening to this document library. Whenever something happens there, call me. Call my web service and let me know this happened. Someone just deleted your
document. It's like a web hook.
Kind of a web hook, right?
Okay.
And so what you can do there is like you can start adding your logic on it. You can start building your custom rules. You can start working with SharePoint kind of an integrated way. In the past, when we had SharePoint on premises, we used to do these things by creating custom assemblies and installing on SharePoint itself. And that's much harder to actually manage and support. And when you have to upgrade SharePoint, now you have to know about all the assemblies you built, and they may or may not be compatible with the new version.
Yeah, it's a very tight integration.
Very tight integration. And when we move to the cloud, I think we kind of set some boundaries. One of them is you're not going to deploy custom assemblies in SharePoint anymore. What we're going to do is if you want to talk to SharePoint, use the standard REST ways of doing things, which is it's more natural to any platform, any language. Everybody can do that. Right?
So you can write these web services in anything. I could write it in Node or PHP or Java and then put that on Azure.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's all web. I think we still have better code examples in .NET. That's our thing. We show
sure.
you. So, but nothing here is proprietary on .NET. You can do that on any platform.
That's right? Cool.
I think that's like, if you want to understand what SharePoint is, that's pretty much what it is. Everything else is just accessories on top of that.
So it's a data source. It can hold documents. Everything's underlying in some database, but we don't think about that. I can put the metadata anywhere I want, and I can talk to it with OData from effectively any language at all. I can pull this data in from anywhere.
Yep.
And I can have both consumers, where I'm going to pull data in from SharePoint, or SharePoint can be sending events and letting me know about events that are happening inside of SharePoint.
Exactly.
Cool. All on Azure, here on Azure Friday.